So we did our top 10 songs of the year so far last episode for 2023. So for this episode, it's going to kind of be the same thing, but this time with albums. Guys, welcome into our new episode for our top 10 albums of the year so far, 2023 edition. I felt like I just said 2023 five different times, but it sounds cool
though. Five out of 85 times, we're probably end up saying it this whole episode.
Absolutely. So how was it making this list, man? I mean, you and I both know that it hasn't been the strongest year for hip-hop so far, especially on the exciting factor. But when I was going through, let's say, the albums I had in my queue for what I wanted to put into contention, I was quite happy with the output just because everything is quality on my list for today.
Yeah, same here. Everything's quality. I would say that, like, for the first time in a long time, I've made one of these lists where I haven't really bumped all of these albums all that much. And I had to do a lot of digging to find a lot of these. You know what I mean? It's not like these are mainstream albums. It's not like these are albums that I've been playing since January, because a lot of them have come out, let's say, a couple of weeks ago or 2 months ago. So I wouldn't say that, like, I'm fully immersed into them, but I've enjoyed them a lot. So
I think these are probably the greatest showcases of rap music this year for me.
Yeah.
Regardless of the replay value of them or not. And replay value was something that I do take into consideration, like we do in our reviews. I do think that a lot of these albums are worthy of a list. They are worthy to listen to. So if you guys have not checked some of these out, please go do your thing and go stream many of the albums that we go speak about on this list today, just so you guys could be refreshed with what we're talking about. And what was your criteria for today, man? What'd you go through?
The same old shit, bro. Just what were the best albums, best production, best rapping performances? Same old, you?
Same on my end. Also, I feel like going through the album and being kind of indulged into a sort of writing or sort of conceptual prowess was a big one for me too this year. I'm starting to appreciate writing and writing more and more every single year. So
I think that's just the kind of guys that we are, though. We go for the concepts, you know. We're suckers for the concept albums.
We're the nerds, yeah.
Yeah, so you guys are definitely going to see some concept albums on here. You're also going to see maybe not a lot, but maybe a bit of trap stuff. I know I have one trap album on my list. I'm not sure about you. But yeah, guys, if you're new here, make sure to leave us a 5-star rating. It goes a long way. Also, if you'd be kind enough to drop us a review, that would also be super appreciated. And thank you guys to everyone who's been coming in every Tuesday to enjoy these episodes. So let's get started with our list. Number 10, what do you have?
I have To What End by Odyssey.
I have Glaucoma 2 by Key Glock. This is my one trap album that I was talking about. Yeah.
So listen, I guess I could start off with To What End by Odyssey. And I want to take it back all the way to the beginning of the year when we were doing our live album reactions. And I remember the week coming, you were telling me, man, listen, pay attention to this new Odyssey release because it's going to be super solid. He has a developed catalog. And I'm like, okay, absolutely. Let me go through this. So if you go through To What End by Odyssey, it is a completely different experience than you will get from any other album this year, just because there's no swearing on the album, which I find pretty cool. Not only that, but all the features are super low key. I don't think you'd be able to recognize any single name on the track list, but everyone does play their part to play into the narrative of the album. Not only that, but sticks at under an hour, 16 songs, so super digestible listen. And Odyssey is probably, I would say, one of the best lyricists that I have on my list today. Mm-hmm. As far as even the underground goes, Odyssey is super low key. And if you guys want to go through this track list, there is endless potential here for you guys to have a fantastic experience. I'll take them through it, bro. So what's your thing with To What End? Did it make your list?
It did make my list. I'm going to talk about it a bit later on in the episode. But yeah, that was one that I discovered by chance. I feel like I don't think anyone recommended it to me, but I could be wrong. But nonetheless, I found it super early on in the year, and again, one of those that hasn't really stuck in rotation, but every time I do go back to it, I find something new or learn something new about the bars or the concept, the writing, whatever it is.
Yeah, and I mean, it, on Apple Music, they classify it as alternative rap. I'm not sure if I really want to classify it as
that's weird.
I would more classify it as like jazzy boom bap rap, mm-hmm. if I had to put it into something, but I guess you could say that because the abstract samples. But my favorites off the track list, The Start of Something, Already New, Try Again, and then I'd probably have to say Race, which is the final song on
all
the album.
All W's there. And let me ask you something, because I feel like at least for my list, and I'm going to take a fucking guess and say probably your list too, a lot of our taste is sort of geared towards that jazzy, soulful, boom bap type of hip hop. So do you feel like that sort of lane for hip hop is the most dominant? Is that the best right now? Or
yeah.
You think so?
For now, yeah. I mean, it's been my favorite for such a long time. Yeah. So I guess
but
I
also just think, in terms of like just, you know, trap or I would say rage hip hop or whatever else, we haven't gotten a good amount of those types of quality projects this year too. So that factors in.
I also think that it's the talent pool that's within those subgenres. Usually people that are making jazz rap are more or less like the hip hop nerds that want to pay back to the 90s or they're inspired by a certain era of rapping. So I had to include it on my list. Makes my number 10 position. Where you gone?
Number 10, Glaucoma 2 by Key Glock. And honestly, he's one of the best rappers out the South right now. I feel like he's also out rapping a lot of Atlanta's biggest trap stars at the moment when you look at this album. You're getting Key Glock rapping like the rent is due, rapping like it's a necessity to slay every single beat that he has on here. In terms of like topical range, you're not going to get the most diverse stuff, but you do get certain highlights, like for example a song like Work, where Glock sounds as driven as he ever has, and he's sort of rapping about having this hunger every day to outdo himself and be a better version of himself for young Dolph. Like, he's doing it all for Dolph, and like Dolph's loss has motivated him to work harder so that he can sort of make him proud from beyond. So that was an emotional cut, and if I'm not mistaken, this is actually Dolph's first project. This is Glock's first project since Dolph's passing, if I'm not mistaken. So it was definitely interesting to hear what he had to say on here. Not only that, but the production is ice cold. It's Memphis trap music to its finest. You're getting beats from DY, Bandplay, Hit Kid, and you're getting these thunderous drums, some hi-hats, some heavy bass, some vocal samples occasionally. And there's a lot of songs that have sort of blown up off of here. For example, like Randy Orton.
Or even something like Fuck a Feature.
Fuck a Feature, which is probably my favorite off of the whole thing. The intro, Dirt, is really good as well. And it's great music to play in the whip. It's great music to play if you're looking for something to add to your gym rotation as well. And if you're into Young Dolph's music or 3-6 Mafia and, you know, that sort of Memphis scene, this is the right place to go to in 2023.
W pick in my books.
Fuck yeah, man. And also, underrated as a punchline artist. People don't give him credit for that. But let's go on to number 9. I think you might be surprised about how low I have this, but it's The Great Escape by Larry June and The Alchemist.
That's criminal.
It's criminal?
Wow, that's criminal.
I don't think it's criminal.
That's a locked-in top 5 solid for me. I went Jackman by Jack Harlow.
That's an L. You're going to talk about, like, criminal? That shouldn't be on a list like this. I'm sorry.
Why? Because it's by Jack Harlow?
No, I just think that, like, when you go through every other album on your list, you'll find skipless projects for the most part. Jackman has 2 skips out of 11.
That's still a fantastic ratio in my opinion. I have some of the most replayable music all year on this album, and that is why I wanted to include it. The replay value on this album has been fantastic. I have been revisiting it every single year. Not every single year, sorry. Every single week. Okay. Yeah, for this year. Going back to songs like Denver, where he's taking you through 2 different perspective switches of, you know, his fame and how he feels about his anxiety. I found that song concept really cool. Even something like That's What They All Say. No, not That's What They All Say. Sorry. Let me pull up the track list. I fucked up on that song title. Hold on. Let me bring it back up.
They don't love it? Is that what you're going to say?
They don't love it as well. Second one, the soul sample on that is fucking crazy. Wolves for like this chipmunk soul sort of aesthetic and absolutely murders it. Blame on Me. I'm a big fan as well of all of the little sample flips on this album that make it really good. But what I really do enjoy about this album is that Jack took a very stripped back approach to his music, which I usually like him for. And when you have to kind of see this against Come Home, The Kids Miss You, for me, it's a major upgrade.
It is.
I do feel like it's been growing on me as a project. For the mainstream landscape of hip-hop, this has been the best release so far, in my opinion, this year. For the mainstream, quote-unquote.
Yes,
And when you have to call a spade, listen, this is cracking a top 10 list. It's not going to make it far in the top 10 list. It's going to get knocked out, but I'm going to have this.
Yeah, it's definitely going to get knocked out. Like, there's no chance that it's staying there by December, but if Glaucoma 2 counts as a mainstream release, I would have that over it personally. But I like Jackman. I think that it was cool. I think the whole Kanye Chipmunk Soul approach was fire. It was one of the biggest surprises of the year. That's why I enjoyed it so much. But my number 9 is going to be The Great Escape by Larry June and The Alchemist. And in terms of a soundscape that really set up a nice atmosphere and that gave you that cinematic production through the slow tempo beats to more of the breezy strings that Alchemist brought on here, it's an album that you just want to cruise to in the summertime. Mm-hmm. Apart from that, I also love June's approach to his luxury bars. Like, he has a bar where he's like, I bought a Rari and I paid it in full. And he's not saying it to flex. He's saying it because he's genuinely trying to show you that it's possible. And he's sort of trying to like lift you up with him. And that's what I appreciate the most about this project, is that it sort of feels like he was putting together a blueprint for up and coming entrepreneurs. And that's something that we could obviously relate to, and I'm sure a lot of other people could relate to as well. Not only that, but you are getting some of the best rapping of the year, even from the features on here. When you're looking at Wiz Khalifa and what he brought to the table, Action Bronson on Solid Plan is one of my favorite features of the entire year. Of course, you have the Big Sean feature where he had his best performance in years. And yeah, like I said, I just think that if you want the most atmospheric and cinematic album in terms of production, mixed in with some business talk, some luxury talk, this is the album to go to. And it truly does take you away. And I feel like, you know, it was an album where we saw a lot of risks being taken, not only in terms of the beat selection, but also you got The Alchemist rapping on 60 Days, which was an absolute treat to see him sort of hold his own against a seasoned lyricist like Larry June. And I think the only reason why it doesn't place maybe a bit higher on my list is that I do feel like Larry June's delivery at times could sort of get capped to a point where it's not as dynamic as it could be. Not a major flaw for me, and there's a couple of artists that I really love, like a Boldy James, for example, that I sort of put into that same frame, but at the end of the day, it's a solid album, so it's there.
All right, let's go on to number 8. I have Generational Curse by High School Bishop. What do you have?
I have Ways of Knowing by Navy Blue.
Okay, very interesting.
I have Generational Curse much higher, actually.
I have Ways of Knowing very close to this one, so okay. I'll be getting onto that album very soon.
Interesting.
But Generational Curse by Ice Cold Bishop, I think you did this album justice last time when you were speaking about a certain track for your top 10 songs of the year so far. But yeah, I think when you have to look at a rapping performance, what Ice Cold Bishop did on this album is some of the best of the year as far as flows, cadences, and the quirkiness within his delivery. And what I like about Ice Cold Bishop is that this album proved to me that he could carry a 13-song track list by himself, completely entertained throughout the entire track list, and you're just going to have so much fun going through this, because what Ice Cold Bishop brings is kind of this mesh of, like, Griselda Street Talk with, like, this nasally sort of delivery that I can't, like, a Danny Brown sort of has, and, and the hybrid of his cadences is just, it's so rare and unique to the table that I feel like you're not going to receive an album like this anywhere else within the landscape today. And I feel like people need to start talking a bit more about Ice Cold Bishop as well, just because what he brings to the table is unique. You go through this track list, there's full of fantastic songs. You have songs on here like Candlelight, Out the Window, Full Fledged, The Intro is a Banger, Dare's Crazy, Last Night, I Can't Swim, just so many great tracks on here that are going to keep you engaged all the way throughout. And Ice Cold Bishop is, of course, taking you back to his earlier days, talking about what he was doing in the street, talking about the current climate of him as a rapper. It's such a fun listen, and I think anyone and everyone will be engaged.
Absolutely. Okay, my number 8, Ways of Knowing by Navy Blue. And honestly, I was sort of like procrastinating listening to this album for whatever reason, but when I finally tapped in, it was a beautiful listen, and you recommending it the other time really sort of pushed me to get into it. And you're getting a lot of, I would say, jazzy lounge production, a lot of beats that are sort of on loop while Navy raps about his family life, how much pain comes from losing loved ones, and sort of the abuse that him and his family have gone through over the years. And it just sort of feels like you're sitting down in a room with him and,
it's a therapy session.
It's a therapy session, bro. Yeah, he's really getting a lot off of his chest. Some of my favorite songs on here include Chosen, where he's sort of rapping with his flow that was reminding me of Corday, out of all people. I don't know if you ever picked up on that.
No, I never
from
did.
That track. A lot of cool football references on that song, too.
Yeah.
He absolutely slid there. Another song I really liked was called Freehold, where he has this super emotional and powerful delivery. Sounds like he's rapping as he's holding back tears. And he's sort of like pleading for someone to help him navigate through life. And you sort of pick up on the loneliness that Navy Blue is experiencing and all these different emotions that are kind of hitting you like a hurricane. So I think that in terms of richness, of personal depth, and everything that he's really laying out on the table, you won't find someone, I would say, exposing themselves as much as Navy Blue does on this album. Apart from that, Phrases was another... not Phrases, sorry. Is it Phases or Phrases?
Phases.
Phases, yes.
Track 6.
That's, halfway through the track list. That was another one that I really enjoyed. You have this pure trumpet that is, just sort of ringing out
beautifully. One of the best on the album, for sure.
Absolutely. Only a one-minute song, but it's like... you won't find much more out of any other one-minute song in terms of him going through suicidal thoughts and, again, him just speaking his mind. And I was able to learn a lot about him as a person and as an artist. That's a big advantage that you could do, is really let your audience know who you are, what you've been through. And that's exactly what he excelled at here. 37 minutes, 13 songs, really quick listen. And it was one of those albums that had that effect of me on me where it's like, I just ran through it once. Let me do it a second time. You know?
Let's go back through it. Yeah. So let me continue going on with this. Number seven, I have Kaytramine by Kaytramine. What do you have?
That's interesting, just because I'll say my number seven pick first, To What End by Odyssey.
Okay,
it's going to slot in there for me. But yeah, Kaytramine, I mean, has it grown on you? Because we weren't too crazy about it on first listen.
I gave it a great rating on the album
true,
review.
True.
I had to call a spade a spade. I realistically only have two skips on that album. But yeah, there's so much quality on this project. And I feel like it would have been a bit of a shame not to include it as well, just because it was one of the bigger moments this year. And the tracks I got out of here were absolutely phenomenal. But yeah, I do feel like Kaytranada and Amine could have done a bit more to be able to create a summer vibe, which, I don't know, I felt kind of a certain way about before going into the album. Then not getting that, I was like, okay, you know, I wish I could have gotten more summer vibes throughout the project. But for the most part, it's weird because it's been one of my most played albums this summer, especially going back to songs like A Rebuke, for example, or even something like A Forever or A West Side. Just so many fantastic tracks on here where you're getting these classic Kaytranada productions that are hip-hop EDM inspired, and then you're getting Amine coming in with this incredible swag and sort of freshness to the track list that makes it entertaining and dynamic. Now, of course, if you guys watch the review, you do know how I feel about the content matter on the album, but I'm kind of all worried about that when I'm playing this in a live setting or when I'm playing this for myself. You know, I understand it is a flaw, but the production and like the cadences and just the dynamic factor that Amine brings to the table kind of gets me past that. Not only that, but you are getting fantastic features on this project. Like example of Pharrell or even someone like, let's say, a Freddie Gibbs. So I do have those types of features that I go back to and listen to all the time. Even Big Sean is fantastic on this project as well. I'll be speaking about him very soon too. But yeah, for the most part, I wanted to include it. I think that it has endless replay value too. It's a super short and nice listen. And yes, I do have my tracks I don't go back to, but for the most part, I do spend this front to back. So
yeah, that's interesting. I mean, it's funny just because when this album was coming out, I thought it was going to be in my top 10 of the year as well. I thought I was going to be playing it all throughout the summer, but it just really hasn't stuck with me like that. And I think that, again, Amine's writing isn't the greatest. His performance all throughout it wasn't as strong as it could have been. But yeah, listen, if it was a beat tape, maybe it would have cracked my list because the production is absolute sheer quality. But good pick. Next up for me, To What End by Odyssey. Like I said, I discovered this earlier on in the year. And, you know, some people could argue that there hasn't been a better album to come out since. And I could see the points that they could make for that in terms of a really interesting concept album. I like the fact that he's asking himself a question and he's challenging himself with it as he goes through these songs, as he asks the audience, which is sort of like, what are you willing to sacrifice in order to achieve success? And what does success truly mean to you?
I like the interactive aspect to the album. I think that also got me engaged as well. But what do you like about it? Because it is a bit of a slower burn. I'm not going to lie to you. Like, I do think it has a lot of quality, but you get towards that track 13, 14, and sometimes you're like, well, it's a bit too heavy. You know, let me put this down and come back to it at a certain point.
Yeah.
And I think that that kind of maybe plays with the replay value of the project. So have you been able to curve that?
I've been able to curve that just because in terms of everything I've heard this year, you're getting some of the best live instrumentation that you'd get all year. You look at songs like, for example, The Start of Something, and you have this layered, complex production where the piano sort of gets faster as the song gets carried out. And you have Odyssey rapping with a lot of philosophical bars that really get you thinking. You know, it's one of those like albums where you play a song and then you have to like, it's almost hard to sort of keep flowing throughout it because he gives you so much food for thought. And that's how I would recommend it to someone, is sort of take it all in all at once for the first listen, and then maybe go song per song and allow him to, you know, make you reflect on how these themes play a role in your life and what you can learn about sort of the game that he's spitting. So absolute fucking phenomenal album. Like I said, great live instrumentation, great features, and he did great on the hooks as well, which was unexpected to me. But number six, I'm going to have To See a Sunset by Coda the Friend and Static Selecta. What do you have?
I have The Ways of Knowing. By Navy Blue. Okay. Well, Ways of Knowing. I just put the in front of it for the grammatical purposes. But okay, I'll go through this quickly because you just finished speaking about it. But yes, I do think that it's one of the most personal albums of the year. And what Navy Blue did on this was incredible as far as a risk-taking factor goes. Just because sometimes there might be a disconnection between the listener and the artist if an album gets too personal and people are like, well, I can't necessarily relate to the content, so the replay value on this is probably going to go down. No. For myself, it was more like, what could I learn from this album? What could I learn from Navy Blue? And how could I go back and getting into it? And like you were speaking about, you know, the generational curses and just all of the trauma that not only Navy Blue has faced, but also his family. And I believe you also see his grandfather on the album cover, which is really cool, which plays into the overall theme and just the importance of family, the importance of taking care of yourself. I love all the richness of the project. And Navy Blue is not doing this in sort of like a Black Thought sort of way where it's going to be this crazy, like lyrical miracle, fucking uncharted writing sort of vibe where you won't even know what's going on at certain points. This is super clear cut as far as a writing standpoint goes. It's super simple to digest and you're going to be locked into the entire track list. And as you were mentioning before, you get this jazzy boom bap soundscape that's so relaxing to listen to and allows you to digest the lyrics even better when you're going through it, because Navy Blue is also using these smooth and calm cadences to be able to deliver his bars like he's almost talking to you. And we mentioned the therapeutic session feeling before. So, yeah, I had it slotted in at top 6, didn't crack the top 5, but one of the most impressive albums this year so far.
I think that's a good way to put it, you know, going into an album that has a lot of substance, but that you don't need to sort of decode every single line, you know, more of an accessible lyrical album. So, yeah, that's a good pick. My next one is going to be To See a Sunset by Static Selecta and Coda the Friend. And this is another first time linking up. They also made an album, I think, 2 years ago called To Kill a Sunrise. And that was also a great album. And to me, the same way that like K-Tramine is maybe your like summer album for the year, this is going to be my summer album for the year. You have, of course, the jazzy boom bap production that you would expect from Static Selecta, but he also goes out of his realms and gives you some reggae, you know, sort of vibes at certain times and some more dance styled records, which is cool because I don't really see Static Selecta go out of his element all that often, especially on his last solo album, which I actually considered including on here. But yeah, you're getting Coda the Friend giving you rare performances and sort of wanting to take more risks in terms of his artistry. On a song like Elevator, for example, you're getting a rare singing performance, and you could tell that he really, you know, put time in to crafting his melodies out and sort of trying to carry a hook on his own. Apart from that, you also have a song like Valleys, where Coda is really just comforting the listener, telling you everything's going to be okay no matter what peaks or valleys you end up hitting in your life. There's always a route for you to take to get out of there. And yeah, I would just say Coda's voice is super relaxing to listen to just because of the nonchalant but also assertive cadences, you know what I mean? Like, although he is sort of laid back, he's also confident in everything that he's saying. The track list also flows super well. It all feels like one big song because of that consistency in the sequencing of the track list. Go Brooklyn is also a highlight for me, where you have sort of this New York anthemic feeling to it. So a very diverse album that sticks to a consistent theme, but also sees both Static and Coda the Friend go out of their comfort zone. So that's why I really appreciated it.
I have a Static album on this list.
Really? You brought in Round Trip?
We'll see if it's
okay,
Round Trip.
Okay, cool.
It is Round Trip. He didn't release anything else this year. Yeah. But whatever. Get into the top 5. At number 5, I have The Mind of a Saint by Sky Zoo and the Other Guys. What do you have?
I have Black Man Wonderland by Young Senju.
Okay, very interesting.
That cracked your list?
No, it did not crack the list. I had a song called Mama Callin' that cracked my list last week for top 10 songs of the year, but I was looking at it towards the end, and I'm like, well, it's an honorable mention, but it's not going to make it in here for me. But The Mind of a Saint by Sky Zoo, probably one of the best written albums this year from a lyrical standpoint. We were speaking about us valuing writing so much and concepts and just the lyrical miracle stuff, and this is the pinnacle of that. I do think that Sky Zoo is one of the sharpest MCs in the game right now, underground or mainstream, doesn't matter, whatever it is. He's always on some sort of like stream of consciousness that wants to sort of put you on game, sort of like a Black Thought sort of style where, you know, you're completely immersed into the writing and the vocabulary that he's presenting to you. And you're getting songs on here like 100 to 1, for example, where this just feels like hip-hop at its core. And that's something that I do miss in 2023, where, you know, you could go into an album and just feel, okay, man, you know, I want to put on a good hip-hop record and just enjoy it. So I wanted to bring this in too, because I was revisiting it, and I was going back to our live album reaction, actually, in the Patreon catalog, and it was interesting because people didn't even know that, like, Sky Zoo existed for the first time, and that was kind of fucking mind-boggling to me. It was just like, whoa. Okay, I understand why, because he's not the most mainstream artist, but still, legend of the game, someone that's always dropping quality, and the mind of a saint, is nothing short of that.
Yeah, so that was refreshing, because he actually, like, you know, got out of his own shoes and decided to portray a drug dealer for the whole thing. So it was cool to see an artist, you know, take that leap, just because although I love personal albums, I love artists, you know, going through a stage of catharsis within their music, but I love seeing artists play other characters the way that an MF Doom would, or the way that an Eminem would.
But the way that he does it is so interesting, because it almost feels like it's real to him. And it's real to what he's playing with. It almost feels like his album to a certain extent. And then when you go through the writing, you're able to definitely depict what's going on.
Yeah, because he just embodies that character so well through the
music. He does, absolutely. But the writing is just so on point. And as we mentioned before, we are a sucker for concept albums. So this is one of the best executed of the year. Wanted to bring it in.
Absolutely. Okay, I got Black Man Wonderland by Young Senju. And this is probably one of the more low-key albums that I have on my list. But I had to bring it in just because in terms of what the musical palette for this was, in terms of who the inspirations for this album were, I felt super connected to it, just because growing up and being sort of a 2010s kid, in terms of that being the decade that I've appreciated the most in hip-hop, I saw that Young Senju was sort of also that 2010s kid, where he's making references to Kendrick and to Capital Steez and to some of the best that we got from that decade. And he also has a taste for some 90s music. And you find that on a song like She Roll Up, which is one of my favorites on here, where he actually samples the same bass line from Electric Relaxation from A Tribe Called Quest. And that was super well done. And yeah, you're really getting, you know, Senju on this album talking about the same sort of stuff that you would find on a lot of people that have grown up in some of the rougher, you know, neighborhoods and the rougher parts of America. You also have songs like Urgency, where Young Senju is rapping about how quickly we're losing people and how difficult it is to see so many innocent lives being taken by gun violence. Another standout to me is Figures, which is later on the album, where he's rapping about how he didn't have a father figure growing up, and then a stepfather came into the picture, and that wasn't really consistent. And it's sort of a nice metaphor where it's like, I'm making all these figures, but I don't have my father figure, which is like the most important thing to me. So that's something else that you'll get out of this album as well, is a lot of symbolism, a lot of metaphors, and a lot of concepts that are sort of being juggled by Senju as he's making his way through life. And there's also a cool honesty coming out from him and his position and where he's at with his music career in terms of being this underdog. Production's amazing. Like I said, Tribe Called Quest influence, Kendrick influence, that jazzy T-Pab type of feeling is present. So if you're into T-Pab, I would definitely recommend this album, as well as if you're into any jazz rap whatsoever. Fantastic project.
It is. It really is. I went through it again last week, and I was really impressed that just already the artistic growth at such a young age. It's really interesting. I think Young Senju is going to be doing a lot of damage in the future if he continues this route.
Yeah.
But let's continue going on with this. Number four, I have Glorious Game by Black Thought. What do you have here?
Number four is Glorious Game by Black Thought.
Okay, so let's talk about the album. We have something in the same order here. I think that I could speak for both you and I when we say that Cheat Codes was one of the best albums last year, and when we both found out that Black Thought would be coming back with another rapper/producer duo album, that we were going to be all ears, we were going to be super invested into the track list. And honestly, yes, this album is a bit complicated to go to, but to be quite honest with you, it doesn't even ruin the replay value for me, because it has been one of my most played this year, especially from the hardcore hip-hop scene. So yeah. Tell me why you like it so much.
I absolutely love this album, and I just think it's because Black Thought really threw it back in terms of him rapping about how all of his senses were stimulated when he was growing up in South Philly. And you're getting some of the most illustrative writing on this fucking album, to a point where it's like, every time Black Thought comes out, it's as if he has the key to the safe of like the English vocabulary, and he's always there to unlock it and give you these gems. And it was just astonishing to see that time and time again, like, he's been dropping solo albums for the last 5 years, and there's always a new story to tell. And I found that he got way more personal with this one, especially on a song like The Weather, for example, where he takes us back to his grandmother's house.
Yeah, we spoke about this last episode.
And yeah, rapping about, like, the type of, like, cleaning product he would use to clean up, like, her marble stairs. Like, those are the types of details that I'm looking for to really put me onto the scene like he does on The Weather. Another exciting track for me was Protocol, where he sort of uses the metaphor of being an alien as he navigates through life as an observer, as a learner, and him sort of wanting to be taught more and more as he goes through his journey.
That's very true. Really cool. Even something like Grateful, for example, where he's going through different things that he's grateful for in his own life, and it kind of it kind of sets the tone for the rest of the album, because then you understand that this is coming from a place of, like, humility to a certain extent, and you could feel that he's really honest and humble throughout the entire project, and he wants to portray that through the perspective of a younger self of him growing up in Philadelphia and giving you that type of backstory. And getting that type of backstory from one of the best ever rappers in the game is super invaluable. I don't think that, you know, you're going to find a better written album this year, to be quite honest with you. So it had to make the top five. But you want to continue with this?
Yeah, man. It gets me excited for Streams of Thought Volume 4, which also might drop this year.
I hope so.
It might feature, I think, Rick Ross, Jid, Redman, Big Crit. Like, I remember looking at the feature list, and it looked absolutely fucking wild. So maybe Black Thought has another album of the year contender this year. But next up, number three, going into the big boys, I got Generational Curse by Ice Cold Bishop. What do you have?
There we go. I have Round Trip by Static Selecta.
Wow,
top three album of the year.
Number
so far.
Three.
Yes, this album has grew massively on me. And honestly, I'm kind of sad that I didn't do an album review on it, because, man, do I want to speak about this project. So what do you want to ask me, man? I feel like you have some questions to ask me about this project.
I have some questions, yeah.
What do you got for me?
What is it, like, production-wise, that you think makes it stand apart from everything else this year? Because although all the beats are, like, fucking amazing, it's a bit one note in the sense that you kind of know what you're getting.
I don't care. I don't even care. I mean, I look at the album for what it is, and, like, I don't necessarily care if, like, the artist... It's always a plus when the artist is able to, like, evolve, but I do feel like that's kind of a jaded thing to look at, especially when reviewing an album or making these types of lists, because if you have to look at it for what it is, I can't give you many other albums that are better produced than this one. I'm being completely honest with you, especially in 2023. Static Selecta is coming back, of course, with his jazzy boom bap style production for quite a lengthy album. It's 20 songs, but yet it was so good on the pacing in the live album reaction, and I feel like it's because of all the fantastic features you have on here. So, example, like A Life and Times featuring Joey Badass, that was a song that made my top 10 of the year for last episodes. Even something like, let's say, Can't Stop with Stove God Cooks, I was really looking forward to that Stove God Cooks feature, and I'm like, well, I want to go through that. Even something like Different League with Benny the Butcher, kind of getting that dark Benny on a Static Selecta project, and you're like, well, where am I going to find an album that has all these features together for one complete track list that's completely taken care of by Static Selecta? Nowhere. So I wanted to include it for that as well. Also, if you go through this, even something like a G-Eazy on Vanilla Sky, it's not even a skip for me. It's low-key a good song. I went through it and I'm like, whoa, this is a pretty good performance.
It's not bad, I gotta say.
Yeah, it's a pretty good performance for him. So even at that, the value that you're getting for 20 songs is pretty incredible. There's low-key, I think, only one skip on here, to be quite honest. I think that the one with
what's that guy's name?
Was it the God Fahim? No, it wasn't.
No, it wasn't
the God
Fahim. More of an unknown name. Let me see.
Was it
here with
MOP and Cormega?
No, not even that one. Let's see.
Because even the
one guy on there. It was. Here
who was
we
it?
Go. Damn, where is it now? Nems, the new Joe, that was the one.
Yeah, where he was comparing himself to Fat Joe.
Yeah.
Where he was like, yeah, that was the only track I really
the
didn't
super
like.
Super cringe,
but,
like, horrorcore that he brought.
Yeah, but you're getting top tier verses also from Ghostface Kill on something like Unpredictable. So this is kind of like a rap fan's paradise, to be quite honest with you. Even someone like Russ on Limbo, I mean, he's obviously doing the basic stuff on here that you'd get on the Chomp series, but for the most part, keeps you engaged. Even Red Veil on Gotta Give, I was kind of impressed with it, because at first I wasn't gravitating towards it, but going back to the song, I was cool with it. One feature that I didn't necessarily think was going to be good was the Millie's feature on Dropping Bodies.
Fire.
But after a couple of more listens, I'll give Millie's the credit. That was a great performance, super energetic, very dark. Even the way that Ransom ended up starting off with Historic, that was a really, really, really nice way to start off this album. So that was cool. And then after that, you get Round Trip for Dave. At the beginning, a beautiful tribute to Dave from De La Soul. So, I mean, just so much value in a 20-song track list. I had to include it.
Yeah, you know what? Like, after hearing your explanation, I think it's valid. I think the reason maybe why I didn't consider putting it in is just because I viewed it as more of a playlist. And that's sort of more or less the vibe that it is, which there's nothing wrong with that at the end of the day, because you are getting some of the best three-verse songs of the year. Production remains consistent all throughout, so I get it for sure. My number three, Generational Curse by Ice Cold Bishop, probably the biggest surprise of the year for me, and that's what I want to tell people. If you're sort of looking to get into this album, try to go in with your eyes closed and your ears blocked to a certain degree, just because you want to experience this for the first time, because it's a very jarring album. It's a very dark album in terms of the production and the feelings that you kind of get out of it. And it's an album that makes you feel paranoid. It makes you feel sort of claustrophobic, because that's what Ice Cold Bishop is sort of projecting.
It's like a street documentary. Almost.
It is a street documentary, and he's sort of playing... not necessarily the ghetto reporter, but he's rapping about what's around him, sort of like a Kendrick would on a Good Kid, Mad City. And there's been a lot of comparisons to Good Kid, Mad City with this, and I do get it, but I think that vocally, what I was impressed with the most was the fact that I haven't heard someone sound this unique vocally in the longest time. I also think that in terms of a West Coast rapper, he's the one that is really grabbing my attention right now, just because of how dynamic he is as a vocalist. Like, there's songs on here where you're going from one song to the next and you're like, was that a feature? And you're like, oh no, there is no fucking feature build here, but it sounds like a totally different rapper. Mm-hmm. I also love songs like Cursed, for example, where you get a more shouty and rowdy delivery from Ice Cold Bishop as he sort of like fulfills this revenge narrative on there. And yeah, I just think that if you're looking for someone who has a high level set of skills, who sounds unlike anybody else in the rap game, but is still able to put together a very sound narrative, look no further than Ice Cold Bishop. And apparently, he worked on this album for years to perfect it. That's what I was reading on. Like, he worked on it during the pandemic. He really took his time to put together this piece of art, and it's an amazing body of work to me. It really is.
Included in my top 10.
Also, great modern G-funk and trap beats within it, and I just want to give a couple of standouts on the project. Focused has to be on there for me. I would also say Out the Windows, another one, and give me Pray for Our Generation was really good too.
That was a fantastic song. But let me go on to my number two. I have The Great Escape by Larry June and The Alchemist. What do you have?
I have Michael by Killer Mike.
Okay, by the way, just a little disclaimer. For Michael, I haven't listened to the album yet, so it would be false for me to put it into this list.
Yeah.
So far at the time of this recording, Lou was able to get to it. So start there, man. Talk to me about the album. Convince me why it's in your top three and why I should go give it a listen.
Yeah, I mean, listen. First Killer Mike solo album in like 11 years. I think that's almost reason enough when you're aware of Killer Mike's contributions to hip-hop, what he's done with Run the Jewels, the fact that he is one of the best MCs and who's only sort of gotten better and better with age. And that's what you sort of see on this album. And you're getting his origin story. You're getting sort of an autobiography of his life. And he's apparently spent like years of his life working on this album. I think he also invested like $500,000 of his own money, so it was truly a passion project. Our album was also executive produced by No ID. So of course, if you're a fan of 444 and what No ID was able to do on a curation basis, this is going to be an album that sort of gets you hyped. Not only that, but if you're a fan of the Dungeon Family, you'll love this because you're getting a lot of soul and funk vibes in the production, and you're also getting features from Dungeon members like Andre 3K, CeeLo Green, Future, and others. And I would say the best way to convince somebody to get into this album is literally listen to the intro. Like, listen to the song Down by Law. You're getting this triumphant, hardcore, sort of trunk-rattling southern production that absolutely fucking bangs. Beautiful bass guitar in there, some horns. It's a very musical song, and Killer Mike just has this immense energy that's larger than life all the way throughout it. And he's rapping about like how he hopes that Obama could free people that are innocent. And that's what's cool too, is that it sort of feels like a time capsule, because he's rapping the perspective of like 2015, where Obama's still in office, you know? So it's sort of really spanning a lot of time, which is really interesting. You also have the amazing song Scientists and Engineers. Have you heard that one yet?
No, I haven't.
That's the one with Andre 3K and Future. And Andre 3000, he travels to another place, bro. Like, this guy's flow is out of this fucking world, and it sounds futuristic, and so does the production, which is something that you'll enjoy as well. And I guess the best way that I could sort of sum up this album is that Killer Mike takes you to church on this album. Mm. Not only in terms of like the sonic elements, because you're getting a bunch of beautiful choirs, organs, and gospel elements, but because of his powerful words and his larger-than-life voice that sort of pushes you to look yourself in the mirror and evaluate the person you are, evaluate your fears, your sins. It's an album that's about the man that he's become and him sort of accepting who he is and who he wants to be. Beautiful album, great autobiography. Definitely recommend it.
W, I'm going to have to go listen to it. I'm going to the gym after the recordings tonight, so I'm going to go put this on. I'm going to see how I like it. So,
yeah, your number two?
My number two, The Great Escape by Larry June and The Alchemist. I feel like you kind of underrated this album, bro. Not even top five.
There's better out there. Listen to the Killer Mike album, and it might move down a bit.
Yeah, but regardless, though, I wanted to bring this in because I think what Larry June and The Alchemist accomplished this year is going to be one of the best. I do definitely think that this maybe will make a top 10 end of the year list for me when it's all said and done in 2023. I mean, let's go through this fucking track list, man. Turkish Cotton, 89 Earthquake, Palisades, California, What Happened to the World with Wiz Khalifa. I love his vocals on that, too. Reminds me of like OG Cushion, Cushion OJ sort of Wiz, where it's very hazy, puts you into a sort of mood. Even something Porsches in Spanish, 60 Days, like you were saying, with OG Alchemist versus too much value on this. Even Margie's Candy House, that sampling back is so stupid.
Yeah.
So I think that this is the best produced album of the year, without a doubt. I don't even think it's a competition between anything else for 2023. Yes, I do agree with you. I do think that Larry June might kind of not be the most dynamic rapper in the world as far as cadences and flows, but it doesn't necessarily take away from the experience for me, because the album is supposed to be very wavy. It's supposed to be very calm and relaxing. It's supposed to feel like you're in California taking this road trip with The Alchemist and with Larry June through the mountains, let's say near Malibu, or let's say on the coastline with that breeze in back you. So this is also a fantastic summer album, and like you were saying before, I like the perspective that Larry June took throughout the project, because he's taking you through a different perspective of mogulism rather than it being like this huge, just in-your-face gangster rap album of him killing people and fucking serving crack on the corners, you know? It's more of an album where he's talking about going to Saks Fifth and spending $1,000 on candles. You know, he's talking about having his juices in the morning and going for a jog. He's talking about cleaning his gut and making sure that, like, you know, his cars are nice and shiny, and he's living this beautiful lifestyle where he's planning out his days in journals. I appreciate all of that content matter because it kind of aligns with what I want to do in my life, so gave me inspiration this year. And some of the strongest features you'll find all year on a track list, like we were talking before in the last episode, Big Sean on Palisades, California, fantastic. Action Bronson, fantastic. Ty Dolla Sign on something like Summer Rain, another great song on there. Even Boldy James on Art Talk, I love how smooth he sounds over that production. So I think it's a lock for my number two so far. I don't see it cracking out of my top 10 this year.
All right, album of the year, no surprises whatsoever. Scaring the Hose by JPEG Mafia and Danny Brown.
Oh, I had the Spider-Verse song.
Imagine. Some people are actually like fucking praising it somehow.
No, come on.
I feel
on,
like it's actually cracking some people's lists.
I've seen some wild takes this year with hip-hop albums. I've seen like people praise this Gunna album. Like, geez, man.
You gotta
re-listen to that album,
people
bro.
People are loving the Gunna. It's
people are asking
wild.
Us what type of mixing headphones we were using because they love the production. I'm like, well, I'm not sure what quality of production you're used to, but it's definitely not in my plans. But
yeah,
onto a more positive
album.
Scaring the Hose by JPEG Mafia and Danny Brown. This did not disappoint. When we started posting about this on Twitter, I was super hyped going into the album, and I was not only happy with the result that I had gotten, but it left me wanting more from both of these rappers going down the line. I think what Danny Brown does for JPEG Mafia is not only played into like his unpredictability bag and play into the way that he already curates his album, but adds a bit of an accessibility feel to it, to where like now you understand why people want to might go back to this one in comparison, let's say, to an LP. So
that's interesting, because I feel like none of them like make it accessible at any point within the album. I do think that like in comparison to JPEG's other
work,
you
listen to a song like Perfect, that's accessible as you'll get both of them.
That's one song in the album though. But yeah, speaking about songs like a Perfect or a song like a Kingdom Hearts, that sort of leads me to a point as to why I think it's the album of the year, is that it's simply the most complete album. Like, although you're getting triumphant sort of horn-based beats, then you're getting the more jazzy beats, then you're getting the more industrial beats, despite this sort of mix of sounds and sonic palettes and directions, it all feels cohesive because there's always sort of a disruptor. There's always a disruptive factor within the production. There's always a similar sort of mixing where the vocals are not perfectly heard and the production sort of is a weight that's sort of lifted on top of it. Apart from that, you're getting some of the most comedic and I would say, you know, humored bars from the entire year. You're getting songs like Lean Beef Patty. You're getting amazing songs like Orange Juice Jones, God Loves You. And there's always a new spin with every track. Nothing ever felt rinse and repeat. And that's what I want out of an album, is sort of to be left guessing what bar is going to be delivered next, what sound I'm going to hear, no matter what it is. And they managed to accomplish that over the full track
list. Well, listen, I gave it to Danny Brown and JPEG Mafia when you had to ask me for my power rankings for this year, because, I mean, there's not a single miss on this track list. We also gave a No Skips our newest episode.
We did.
Which is pretty crazy to think about for a 2023 album. While, yes, I do think The Great Escape is a better produced album, I will say this. What you're getting on Scaring the Host is probably the most diverse production-wise that you'll be getting in 2023. And what JPEG Mafia did on this album is so sick. He's one of my favorite rappers out right now just because of how many things he touches and how much stuff he does. And it's crazy to think about this, too. When we did our LP live album reaction, remember how much we couldn't get into his music? And now it's like I'm there every single day, and he's one of the rappers that I'm invested into the most right now, even from like a legacy standpoint. What he's doing for, you know, the alternative rap scene, especially for the underground, is incredible. I think Danny Brown teaming up with him was one of the biggest moments this year, and it was such a great play on his side as well. Just before you maybe get his new studio album this year, which might be cracking our list. Who knows how good it's gonna be, but. Yeah, man. I think I like your list. I like what you have on
here. I like your list too, bro. We had a lot in common. I think it's like the list that we've done this year where we've had the most picks in common. Before we end, though, like, let me ask you, do you think that Scaring the Hose is a lock to stay at number one, or do you think it's going to get dethroned?
So far,
lock, eh?
Yeah, I think it's a lock. I don't see anything coming in front of it right now, at least in my opinion. But
out of what's been announced and teased, maybe not. Like we said, there's always the Utopia possibility, but it's going to take an Astral World level album, in my opinion, for it to really get there.
I'm not sure, though. I don't want to overrate it as well. I do want to say it's the best album of the year, but I do think there is a big possibility it does get knocked off. I don't think there's any way that it cracks out of my top five, though.
Yeah, no, I think it's definitely certified there. But yeah, guys, it's going to sum up the episode. Let us know what other types of lists you guys want to see us cover on the audio podcast. Of course, we're going to be doing more lists all throughout the year. We're going to have these updated versions of these lists once we get to December as well on the YouTube. And yeah, if you guys are enjoying these episodes, as we said, please make sure to follow us on Spotify and Apple. Make sure to leave us those awesome reviews and ratings. It means so much to us. It helps get us out to more music fans just like you guys. And yeah, guys, thank you for listening today. We'll catch you next week. Peace.